Where is he going with that? What is he going to do with that text? Because it sounds harsh and difficult. What's he going to do with that? Well, you'll see. Before I start my lesson this morning, I would want to say welcome to everyone. We're thankful to have you here. We have a number of guests with us. We're honored by your presence and hope that you will remain after we're dismissed. We're going to have spiritual food right now, and after our worship is ended, then we will all gather in the back and enjoy a wonderful meal prepared by the sweet ladies of our congregation, and some fellas had a hand in some of that, but not me this time. So it should be all really good. But then after at 1:30, we'll meet back in here for an afternoon devotional. Brother Charles Thompson will be with us. He's up in St. Joe, Tennessee right now, preaching this morning at the church there. He'll be making his way here then as soon as that's dismissed. And as I said, in Sunday school, maybe have a chance to get a bite of chocolate pie or something. But we're glad Linda's with us this morning, and we're looking forward to Charles bringing us a message this afternoon at 1:30. And I hope that you will plan to remain for this whole thing today, and that will there will be no 5 o'clock service tonight, as is our fifth Sunday practice. But we do want to encourage everyone to remain, if you would, for the continued fellowship following this service this morning. There are two other passages that I want to bring to your attention before we begin actually speaking about this first one in Luke 12, 51 through 53. Some very harsh things that Jesus says. You suppose I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. In Luke 2, 13 and 14, as Jesus was born, there appeared in heaven a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, as the shepherds heard this. It says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. One of the most widely known Bible verses in all of the Bible. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, now may the God of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Those two verses seem to conflict with what Jesus has just said, but I can assure you there is no conflict here. And I'm going to show you this morning. Now we live in a time of great turmoil, nationally, internationally, all over this world. People are in turmoil. We have enemies that are from overseas that are trying to destroy us. They want to harm us. And you cannot appease these enemies because they will not be satisfied until we as a nation have been destroyed. That is just a fact. We can argue with it. We can politicize it. We can agendize it. We can come up with all kinds of ways to spin it, but the reality is the enemy will not be satisfied until the United States of America ceases to exist as it is today. That is the harsh reality. And in that regard, we can somewhat empathize with Israel as they are surrounded by these same enemies. They hate us. And they try to use our own freedom of expression against us to try to make us be quiet, to try to cause us to say nothing about them or their work. And even people who have no direct contact with our enemies are being radicalized by so many of these extremist views. We also have political dissension that's just gotten out of hand. Our country is so divided. Democrat, Republican, Independent. We are divided in ways like I don't ever remember in my lifetime such a gulf that exists between these political views. People are openly hostile when someone disagrees with them about their political views. And the attitude today is the bully rule applies. These bullies try to make us be quiet. Don't say anything. You're just being mean. You're being uncaring. You're being intolerant. You're guilty of a hate crime if you speak against something that you believe to be true. One politician made this statement, that the country's greatest enemy is the other party. Really? Aren't we all Americans? Aren't we all citizens of this country? Why would we say our enemy is our own countrymen? That doesn't make sense. It's just wrong. Our country's traditional values and morals have gone the way of the dinosaur. Evil is being redefined and approved everywhere today. Things that were wrong are now considered right. I remember an Old Testament passage that says, beware when men call good evil and evil good. And such is happening today. And then think about civility. You know, people used to use manners. They used to be polite. When you were driving, people would wave at each other. Now they don't wave in a good way. When you would meet someone on the street, you would speak. And now so many places, people will turn their head and look away rather than make eye contact. Civility in society has become a thing of the past. This idea of political correctness is a garment that the bullies wear to try to make everyone comply. And now we have a generation in the United States that does not respect themselves or anyone else. They do not want to hear anything with which they disagree. If you say something that they disagree with, you're evil. You're misinformed. You're not with it. You're not modern. You're unnecessary. In fact, you should be removed. That's the attitude. Let me give you an example. Recently, there was a petition signed by many, many of the students at Yale University, okay, to abolish the First Amendment. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. They used the freedom of the First Amendment to try to destroy the First Amendment. That just is ludicrous. These are college students. They would not pass a course in logic, would they? Not at all. They're using the freedom of speech in this country to say, no more freedom of speech. Oh my, how foolish. When the police stop people now, many of these folks think they have the right to ignore the authority of the police. And then the police become so frustrated that sometimes they do overreact to these challenges of their authority. But when the police enforce the law now, rebellious citizens riot in the streets. That's the condition of our country. That's where we are. And then another point. Atheists no longer are content simply to reject God. Now they seek to prevent others from believing in God. Now it's come to the point of we must stamp God out. Just remove all evidence of God. Many have filed lawsuits trying to take God out of every area of public life. Prayer was taken out of the schools. The Ten Commandments. Roy Moore has lost his job again because of him taking a stand for what he believes to be right. He has lost his job yet again because of this. And it's just amazing how people are trying to take God out of anything in public. The Freedom From Religion Foundation will not rest until they're either stopped or until they succeed in removing any and all religious activity from American life. This is where we are. Now, all of this creates an atmosphere of insecurity. Then you have added to that terrorism. The threat of terrorism creates apprehension. It creates fear. People are afraid to go and gather in large places. I don't know if the number of you that told me, be careful, when I was flying to India on this trip. You said, oh, be careful. You got to be careful. And aren't you worried about flying in there? And we were advised and encouraged to be careful, Henry and I, when we flew to the Philippines a couple of years ago. Oh, you got to be careful because there's so much. And you're right. You're right. And because I was going through London this time, you know, people were saying, oh, you really have to be careful. And I understand that. I understand that. But the reality is that this threat of terrorism is what's behind this fear that we have, that something terrible is going to happen. And of course, you don't know who might be a closet terrorist. Do you remember hearing the name Enrique Marquez? You remember that name? Enrique Marquez. He was described as being a nice boy next door type, okay? But he supplied the weapons for the 2012 San Bernardino massacre that was carried out by a Muslim couple, where, and later, of course, they lost their lives. They killed 14 people. Now, Enrique was not Muslim, nor was he Middle Eastern, nor did he have any direct connection with the Middle East. And yet, he aided this terrorist couple by giving them weapons, supplying them weapons, knowing exactly what their intent was. An Americanized, radical terrorist, and yet not Muslim, not Middle Eastern. Radical politics helped to create a fear of expressing ourselves politically. People are afraid to talk about politics without being afraid they're going to be attacked. And now, even with close friends, we have to be so careful in how we choose our words, lest someone disagree, lest someone be offended. A friendly debate over a simple topic can destroy a friendship. There are many days where Christians are afraid to share the gospel with someone for fear that they're going to be reprimanded and accused of a hate crime. For condemning sin and upholding righteousness, we can be accused of committing a hate crime. A society that rejects the authority of God is not willing to listen to what the Bible says. And unfortunately, Christians are becoming more and more silent out of fear of rejection or ridicule. Now, folks, I've painted a pretty bleak picture. And that really does tie in with what Jesus said in our reading this morning about dividing, causing division. And was it Jesus' intention? Was it his desire to divide people? Was that what he wanted to happen? Well, we'll think about that. But understand this. It is not God's will for his people to live in fear. That is not God's will. That's not what his plan is. Our God is called the God of peace. Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. The angel said Jesus was coming to bring peace on the earth. And then Jesus said he came to bring a sword. So which is it? Our topic this morning is peace in a troubled world. Peace in a troubled world. We need peace in the world. You know, we pray for peace. It's a legitimate thing to pray for peace. But we need to understand this world is not going to be at peace because the world is all about self. Listen, the world is all about self. When one becomes a Christian, he's required to put away selfish thinking. 1 Peter 2:1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, lay these things aside. See, these are attitudes that express competition and conflict with others, and it comes from self-interests. It comes from envy, all that comes from self-interest, looking out for me, letting you know what I think and what I feel and what I like. And I'm not happy with this or that or the other. So this envy and all of these words, the hypocrisy, the deceit, the malice, evil speaking, these come from selfishness. They come from us looking after ourselves, looking out for number one, if you please. People of this world live to fulfill their own personal desires. And this is what Jesus called for us to change, to be transformed by renewing our minds. Don't be like the world. The world looks after its own. The world looks after itself. It's all about me and my and I and what I want and what I like. And Jesus says you can't think like that anymore. Children of God must have a renewed mind. We must change the way we think, change the way we see these things. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We're to put those things aside. When personal desires compete and conflict with those of others, peace is lost. There is no peace. There is war. There is war. Individuals have self-interest, so do nations. I'm going to name some countries. I want to get your thoughts. I don't want you to answer. I just want you to think. What do you think of when you think of these countries, all right? Russia, China, North Korea. What do you think of? Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. What do you think of? Do you think of godliness, righteousness? Do you think of peace? Do you think of human rights? Do you think of personal growth and development? No, you do not. Not in any of those named countries. Countries have self-interest too that conflict with the will of God. Christians are commanded to pursue peace, to seek it, to pursue it. This is what God wants us to do. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Peace in our time. Peace at any price. Peace at the cost of compromising the truth. Peace is more important than the Word of God? No, no, no. That's taking that too far. Paul says, as much as in you is, live peaceably with all men. But there comes a point where you can't live at peace. Peace in the world. It's a hard commodity. A hard commodity to find. Matthew 5:9 tells us, though, that we should work for peace. Because it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We're told to pray for peace. Pray for leaders so that we might live a peaceful and quiet life. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. I am convinced, however, that most people in our world just want to be left alone. I'm convinced of this. Muslim, Hindu, atheist, communist, it doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. Most people want to simply be left alone. Let them prosper and raise their families in peace. This is what most people of the world want. And governments step up and say, no, no, no. We don't have peace. You've got to fight. You have to go to war. And we fight against each other. We fight against others that we're directed to fight against, and we end up opposing so many, whereas they simply want to live in peace. And here's the thing, folks, the objective of a peaceful and quiet life is not for us to be happy. It's for us to be able to freely spread the gospel of Jesus. When they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, what did they do? They preached the word. When there was peace in the land, what did they do? They preached the word. Listen to this. Acts 9:31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. Man, what a great thing. Sounds like America used to be. Sounds like America used to be. When Christians could exercise their religion in freedom and peace and know that people are not going to stand up and condemn us as haters and racists and bigots for the simple practice of our faith. But those days are gone in this country. Gone. Will they come back? I don't know. Can they come back? I don't know. But they are gone. And we have to face that reality in our country. But he goes on to say that the churches throughout Judea and all these lands had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. They preached. They spread the gospel. They shared the story of love, the story of Jesus, the story of the Prince of Peace, the story of salvation. They shared that story, and the church grew in that time of peace. I pray for America. I pray that America can know peace, that our freedoms can be intact, that we can prosper as a nation so that God's people can continue to easily take the gospel to the world, that we can prosper so that we can fund it, and so that we can raise up men and women to share the message of Jesus to a lost and dying world. That's my prayer for America, that the gospel can be preached freely and not having to hide like they do in China or as they do in Pakistan or in Indonesia or Malaysia. They have to hide because if it's known in several of these places that you are a Christian, you can be put to death. You can be put to death. In Malaysia, if you convert from Islam to Christianity and they find you, they will kill you. It's not a matter that they can. They will. They will. This is the world we live in. Peace in the world. We have to recognize that peace is not always possible. There are times when it can't happen. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Romans 12:18, I've referred to that a moment ago. See, Muslims refuse to be at peace with Christians. They refuse. They will not. Now, we do not agree with the Islamic religion. We do not believe in the Quran. We do not believe Muhammad was a prophet of God equal to Moses or Abraham. We do not believe that at all in any form or fashion. And we would be condemned to death for making that statement in many places in this world. Freedom of religion and freedom of expression in this country is something we should not take for granted. But the reality is, we are not allowed to fight them physically. We are not, as the Church of God, we are not to go to war with physical weapons of warfare. Throughout history, there have been times of conflict. Think of the Crusades. This was a war between Christianity, so-called, and Islam. And these were wars that went on back and forth for I don't know how long. And it was a bloodbath, and it was awful. And it should never have happened on either side. Jesus said in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should be delivered, or should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." We may never fight in a conflict like that, but we must not allow ourselves to be silenced either. We must continue to speak up and proclaim the Word of God, just like they that were scattered abroad because of the persecution went everywhere preaching the Word, Acts 8:4. They preached the Word while they fled for their lives. The message must not be silenced. We must continue to proclaim the message, legal or illegal, safe or danger. We must proclaim the gospel. That is just all there is to it. Peace in the world, and then peace in the church. There needs to be peace in the church. I'm thankful that Tanner has never had a split. In 100 years, we've never had a split. I'm not saying we've never had a fight. I'm not saying we've never had an argument. I'm not saying we've never had some conflict at Tanner. There certainly has been. But we've never had a split. And I'm thankful for that. But it's not always that way everywhere. And it may not always be that way here, ladies and gentlemen. You hear me? It may not always be that way right here among us. Let me explain. There must be peace in any kingdom that God rules over, because God is the God of love and peace. Mark 9:50, be at peace with one another. The apostle commanded us to live in peace with each other. Finally, brethren, farewell, become complete. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the love of God and peace will be with you. Jesus commanded us to be at peace in Mark 9:50. Be at peace among yourselves, 1 Thessalonians 5:13. So there's command, and it is a command that we must be at peace among ourselves. Peace, though, is a product of love and a lot of hard work. You hear me? Peace between people doesn't just happen. There's got to be correct attitudes. There's got to be correct effort to communicate love and good works. There must be a correct attitude of tolerance and patience toward each other. for peace to be maintained. We are very fortunate to have a peaceful congregation, but we have to work at it, and we have to work to keep it. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:22, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." The same thing that produces righteousness, faith, and love will also produce peace among God's people. The same thing. Peace must be one of the goals of every congregation. Romans 14:19. "So then we pursue the things which make for peace and for the building up of one another." Confusion, on the other hand, must not be permitted to exist in a congregation. Confusion is not from God. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Just keep on reading down. "For God is not the God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Unfortunately, though, there are congregations where they allow rivalries and conflict to exist, and where peace is slipping away, where they do not work to maintain, to have and to maintain peace. Once achieved, once we have peace in a place, in a congregation, we must be careful to maintain it. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. You have to work at keeping peace. Keeping peace. What's the job of the sheriff? He's a peacekeeper. What's the job of the police officer? He's a peacekeeper. Their job is to keep the peace. What's a crime that you can be fined for severely and potentially jailed for? Disturbing the peace. See, keeping the peace is extremely important. Philippians 2, "When we have the mind of Christ in us, this will come naturally. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." If you do this, it's going to come naturally that you're going to be a peacemaker. You're going to be a person who's going to do your best to be at peace with all people. And the third point this morning is peace within your own heart. Peace within your own heart. And now we're getting to the heart of what the angels said at the time that Jesus was born. When you can have peace within your own heart, a peace that passes all understanding, as Paul talked about in Philippians 2, a peace that passes all understanding. Most of the world does not have any idea what this peace on the inside is like. Most of the people on this planet don't know what that's like. They live with conflict and turmoil going on inside all the time. They go through life reacting to their circumstances. Now I want you to listen very carefully. I'm almost done. Peace eludes people who react to their circumstances. If their circumstances determine how they're going to act, they never know peace. The dictionary definition of peace doesn't get it, folks. It doesn't. It's not adequate. Freedom from disturbance, quiet and tranquility, that's not peace. That is not peace. Peace has nothing to do with your circumstances. Peace comes from within. Peace comes from within yourself. It's an indication of peace that knowing that you are right with God, knowing that God is in control, knowing that you have a hope, that you have something to look forward to. Peace comes from within. Two artists were commissioned to paint a scene depicting peace. One artist painted a lady sitting in a beautiful gazebo in a quiet little harbor by a glassy lake. Just a beautiful scene with flowers and the sun setting and the trees everywhere, and this little lady sitting in the gazebo looking out over the beautiful lake, and they called that peace. And the other painted a tree branch extending over a waterfall, a raging waterfall. And on that tree branch was a bird nest. And in that bird nest was a bird sitting calmly. One painted a picture of tranquility. The other one painted a picture of what peace was. You can be tranquil in the midst of the raging storm. You can still be at peace knowing that someone else is in control. Peace within. True peace does not depend upon your circumstances, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is God's gift to those who trust Him. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Listen to what He says. Don't let your heart be troubled. You have some control over this. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Trust God more than you trust what you see. Trust God more than you trust what you feel. Trust God more than what you know in your heart. Trust God more than you trust anything else. And peace will be yours. Acts 16, verse 22, Paul and Silas are in peace at midnight with stripes all over their bodies, hands and feet locked up where they can't even rub where it hurts. And they're singing and praying at midnight. At midnight. Peace, folks. That's what we're talking about. One's peace is directly proportionate to his love and his trust in God. And Jesus did admonish us to trust Him. In Matthew 6, 25 to 33, you know this passage, you know it well. I won't share the whole thing, but the fact is, you can look at the birds of the air, you can look at the grass of the fields, your Father takes care of them. Will He not much more take care of you? Have faith in Him. Don't be of little faith. Choose to believe in God more than you believe in what you see. And trust in Him enough to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And God says all these things will be added to you. You will have what you need in life. Peace is a result of knowing that the God who loves you is in control of your life. And He is in control of this country. And He is in control of this world. And so regardless of what may happen to us, regardless of whether our freedoms are taken, regardless of what happens as a result of this coming election, or what happens in our economy, or what happens in our world, or even what happens in our church family, God is still in control. He still reigns. And we can trust Him in every way. My final point this morning, let's think about peace with God. Peace with God. This is where we talk about salvation. This is where we talk about being able to be with God forever and ever. If we live with sin and we allow sin to rule over our mortal bodies, we will not be in the presence of God for eternity. We will lose our souls and we will find ourselves cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the smoke of our torment will ascend up forever and ever and ever without end. That's what we have to look forward to if we die in our sins. There is no peace. There is only turmoil and tragedy. Peace with God is the foundation stone on which all types of peace are built. Without peace with God, no other kind of peace matters. We may declare peace with the Islamic religion, but if we don't have peace with God, it doesn't matter. We may be able to be at peace with our worst enemy individually, but if without peace in God, with God, it doesn't make any difference. Sin destroys peace. Sin terminates the relationship with God. Peace with God requires that this broken relationship be repaired. Isaiah 59. God is not hostile. God does not hate us. And though we are the ones who broke the relationship, God seeks to repair it. God is the one who seeks to restore it. He reaches out to you. When the angel said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men," man has access to God again. Man has access to the peace of God and to that relationship with God. Colossians 1, 19, 20, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself." By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. God is the one who opened the door for us to enter in and to be in His presence again. Jesus Christ in him. We who were afar off now have been brought near by his precious blood, for he himself is our peace. Ephesians 2, verse 13 and 14. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse 1. We have no condemnation from God if we are his people and if we are faithful to him. And that is such a peace-giving knowledge. So what have we observed about peace this morning? We should pray for peace on this earth. Pray for world peace. Pray for peace within our nation. Pray for peace within our church. Pray for peace with ourselves. Pray for peace with God. We should pray for peace. But we need to recognize that without submission to the will of God, there will be no peace with God. There will be no inner peace. And there will be no peace within the church. The world is another matter entirely. Luke 12, 51 through 52. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. Our eternal peace with God is more important than our peace with our family or with our friends, with our neighbors, with our church even. Our peace with God is the most important thing. Your relationship with God is the most important relationship that you could have. It's more important than your relationship with your husband or wife. It's more important than your relationship with the parents and the children. It's more important than a relationship you have with your best friend on this earth. Your relationship with God tops them all. But not everyone is going to agree with that. Not everyone's going to feel like that. Some are going to reject it. And that's where Jesus is saying the division is going to come from. Because in the same family, there may be two that want to obey God and three that do not. And there will be conflict. It's inevitable. It is unavoidable. Because not everyone will be saved. Not everyone will obey God. Jesus says that's the result of being a Christian. So we live in a world where we may be surrounded by conflict and turmoil, where we may be surrounded by insecurity and uncertainty. We live in a world that may be damaged and destroyed by the effects of sin. But we live in this same world in peace with God and in peace within, knowing that God is first in our life and God is in charge. This is His world. And we are His servants, and we will do what He says, and He will take care of us. And though we die 1,000 times, though we suffer agony in this life, though we deal with poverty and deprivation, though we deal with pain and suffering, though we deal with social outcasting and rejection, though we deal with being abandoned by all men, God will still bless those who remain faithful to Him. He will always bless His faithful people. And one day, you're going to breathe your last breath. One day, your heart's going to beat that last beat. And you're going to die. Make sure when you do, when that time comes for you, make sure that you have peace with God above all else so that heaven can be your home. If you're not a Christian, what better time than right now?